horseback riding is a fun and exhilarating experience. It's a great way to get outside and enjoy nature while also getting some exercise. However, this activity can also bring danger to you and your family. Two teenagers were out riding horses near their farm when they took a wrong turn and ended up near another farm they didn't know. They saw what appeared to be a scarecrow in the field. It vanished after about 30 seconds. Then, gunshots were fired, most likely in response to their presence. For the next 3 years, they will be stalked by a homicidal, insane farmer. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 40 of the MC Horror Podcast. First off, I wanted to say this has been ongoing for years, and we were literally 13 to 14 when stuff started going down. I'm 18 now and have a lot more common sense, or I would like to think so. So please try and look at this from a 13-year-old's perspective and try not to judge our actions based on this. Also, this gives more context to adults in our lives not believing us. I have ridden horses all my life, but have never kept them close to home. When the opportunity came to keep them 5 minutes down the road from my house and with my best friend's ponies, I was over the moon. Little did I know what was about to take place over the following years. I will start this with the backstory. The horse I owned at the time came from a rescue that I volunteered at for 5 years. I was sitting down one day, drinking a cup of tea with the owner of the rescue center, as we usually did after a hard day of mucking out fields and dragging barrows of hay to the 40 horses and donkeys that lived there, when she told me about a farm that was just down the road from my house in a little village that we'll call Trophy. She said that her father had built that farm and that he'd be turning in his grave if he found out who owns it now. Immediately, I was intrigued, so I pushed for more info. She told me that the man who now owns it is Elliot, who is a pig farmer. He murdered his brother-in-law, who was asking for him to pay back $150,000 in debt, ground him up in a meat grinder, and fed him to the pigs. He then moved those pigs 2 to 3 hours away for long enough so that when police eventually tracked them down, any DNA would have been long out of their systems. He was actually charged with murder, but ended up being acquitted by the judge due to lack of evidence. What's ironic is that he moved those pigs without a moving permit, which is illegal and crazy because getting a moving permit isn't hard at all. So in the end, he got punished for the illegal transport of livestock and not for murder. She told me that although he was eventually found not guilty, everyone in the village knew that he did it. Now that we've got that out the way, we'll go back to the farm that I'd been keeping my horse at. I'd known the owners for a while, as I used to ride one of Annie's horses, which is my best friend from earlier. Nothing particularly scary had happened while I was riding for her, except once. We had decided to ride down a different trail that day, one that went past an unfamiliar farm. We didn't know who owned it and weren't sure if they were friendly, so we proceeded with caution. All seemed fine as we were riding through the fields until the path came to a stop. There were gates and guard dogs in the way. We assumed we must have taken a wrong turn, so instead of passing through the gates, we decided to carry on through the fields and around the outskirts of the farm. Unknowingly, we were now trespassing. The horses started to feel extremely uneasy beneath us. Mine would stop and shoot forward. Annie's started backing up into the brook that ran alongside us. Annie was hanging off hers, deciding whether to throw herself off before they both ended up in the ditch when I looked towards the farm. A man stood completely still, staring at us. I honestly thought he was a scarecrow at first and had no idea how long he'd been there for. He disappeared after about 30 seconds of making eye contact with me. For some reason, it made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. There was something so unsettling about him. A few minutes later, we finally got the horses under control. That's when we heard gunshots behind us. Guns are illegal in my country. Only licensed owners can have them. The only reasonable explanation was that someone was scaring birds off their crops or shooting bunnies and they hadn't seen us coming. We went into a flat-out gallop, literally crapping ourselves because if they really did not know we were there, we could have been caught by a stray bullet. All the while we were looking back to see if any birds flew to confirm our theory. They never did. It was meant for us, to warn us to stay away. Later that night, we looked back at the map to see where our wrong turn was. The gates were where the trail carries on, but who in their right mind would go past a bunch of snarling guard dogs? At any point, that man could have just redirected us. Shooting towards us was pretty psychopathic. We didn't tell anyone that day as we thought we'd get in trouble for trespassing. That is only where the problems began. When I brought Eric to the farm, things calmed down. There were odd scenarios that played out. Sheep were stolen, our ponies were let out, and a white pickup truck would be seen prowling the area often. But again, nothing too serious. This was until October of that year when we would end up riding in the dark as days are shorter in the winter. This particular evening, we were goofing around and laughing like 14-year-olds do when we heard an owl hooting. It was coming from one of the fields that the scary farmer owned. I began imitating it, joking around and not expecting a reply. It did reply. I found this hilarious, and Annie began joining in. This carried on for about 5 minutes, which in hindsight is definitely a red flag. Any owl would have stopped replying within the first two or three calls, realizing it wasn't speaking to one of its own. This one always replied and sounded louder every few calls. The longer this went on, the less owl-like this thing sounded. There was a moment where the noise almost sounded strangled, and that was when Annie turned to me and said, "That is not an owl." We realized that we had just led whoever was in that field right to us. They could now pinpoint exactly where we were. We turned our flashlights off and ducked, trying to be quiet, which is hard when you have a 1,200-pound animal squishing through the mud underneath you. We decided to say screw it and gallop the rest of the fields back to the farm. What we didn't realize was that the weight of the horses had left deep hoof marks in the soil leading straight back to us. We were freaking out as we got back, but the adrenaline began to wear off and we ended up laughing about it while untacking the horses. We were about to lead them to the field when we heard the crunch of broken glass being stepped on from one of the old greenhouses opposite the stables. It was pitch black except for the door light coming from behind us, so we couldn't see anything. Immediately, we turned all the lights off, picked up a pocket knife that we used to cut the hay bags open with and hid behind the stable door. We waited for 10 minutes with no phone signal to call the police, but didn't hear a thing, scared to even breathe in case it made a sound. I decided to be brave and make a dash for the horses who were tied up outside, thinking I could jump on one if I saw someone get out of there quicker than they could run. My eyes had adjusted to the darkness now, so I could kind of see into the greenhouse. I shouted back to Annie, "There's no one here. We're just being paranoid." Again, we laughed it off, trying to shake the terror we had just experienced. It was only until the next day it became very, very real. The next morning was hot. The ground had baked and preserved the hoof prints we left from the previous night. However, there was something else in between them. Massive boot prints led from the field we had heard the owl all the way back to our farm. That was where the nickname Farmer Bigfoot came about. We told our parents. However, they decided we were just making drama out of paranoia and didn't believe us. That was that. These boot prints started appearing a lot. We would skate on the ice where the fields flooded over in the winter. We noticed the prints a few times stopping on the edge of the field where we would skate and then continuing in the opposite direction. We didn't ever see anyone watching us though. I lost Annie's phones in the fields one night, we went looking for them in the dark. The next morning, footprints. Bigfoot footprints. Our trail started getting blocked off. First, a huge tree, and I'm talking a couple hundred years worth of trunk and branches, was brought down onto our trail. It was then set on fire after we cut ourselves a path through it. When we weren't being deterred, they seemed to give up until 2018, when huge mounds of rubble started being dumped on our trail. This time, the trail was basically inaccessible. We spoke to a man who lives on the corner who told us he didn't want to name the farmer who was behind all of this, but that we should report it as it is illegally blocking a bridle path. We tried to report it, but the council won't go near him as he's a scary man. He told us that we were being watched and to be careful. Now this freaked us out, but us being stupid kids stayed from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. clearing a path through the rubble. We also wrote F you in stones just for effect. The next day, there were 3 more piles of rubble and our path was covered over. We were at a loss, so we decided to talk to one of the neighboring farms that keeps horses. Without telling us a name, she said, "You have to be careful messing with him around here. He's known as the man who makes people disappear." That's when it clicked. This whole time, we'd been messing with Elliot. Farmer Bigfoot was Elliot, the same Elliot who fed his brother-in-law to the pigs. No wonder the council wouldn't go near him. Again, we tried to tell our family, but nothing came of it. They thought that we were just being dramatic. Things continued happening. Bones were left on top of the rubble piles. Again, I'm guessing to scare us. A whole herd of sheep was stolen. The horses kept being let out. The owners of our farm would never say who they suspected, but we all knew who it was. The white pickup would turn up almost every week. We started leaving breadcrumbs on our Snapchat stories, thinking if it was weird enough for people to screenshot, we'd have multiple witnesses if anything happened to us. We told friends that if we disappeared, make the police look at Elliot. We were terrified. It quieted down after a while until September of last year. We'd just ridden and I was leading both the horses back to the field on my own. It's down a dirt track about a 2-minute walk from the stables. I walked through the wooded area on the track and immediately this smell hit me. It was vile and I knew what it was immediately. Death. Literal rotting flesh. It was enough to make you gag. I put the horses out and immediately ran back to Annie to come and investigate with me. The farm owner, Ryan, overheard me and went into the house to grab a flashlight. Annie has a weak stomach, so as soon as the smell hit her, she threw up. It was so strong and so disgusting. Ryan soon joined us and said, "Someone has definitely been in here." This just added to our fear. Annie had recovered from her vomit fiasco and rejoined us in the search. Ryan then said, "I really don't know what we're going to find here, girls, but I don't think it's going to be an animal." Our fear meter was now at the max, but morbid curiosity drove us forward. After an hour of searching, we decided to unstack a pile of wooden pallets. That's when we saw bags of white flesh. They were clear Ziploc bags. Maggots crawled inside the bags, but there were no holes, implying whatever meat was in there had been rotting for a good while before it was cut up and put in bags. It was the most surreal experience. After more vomit from Annie, we decided to call it a day, reassured that Ryan would now deal with whatever the heck this was. We assumed he would have called the police. We got home, cried to our parents, but again, they dismissed it. Like, how in the world are we being dramatic when we've just found chunks of rotting flesh in the woods? Anyhow, Ryan is hands down one of the loveliest men on this planet. We always felt safe around him, but what we found out days later was extremely questionable. He did not call the police. He buried the meat. He didn't throw it out. He buried it. What the crap? We assume now it's because he's old and vulnerable, he didn't want to get involved in anything that might put him or his family at risk. I still have no idea why Annie and I didn't call the police. I'm guessing because we didn't want to cause trouble for Ryan, and no one else believed us, so why would the police? This is where my story concludes. I know, how unsatisfying. I am no longer at that farm, but still have horses. My parents now believe everything I told them. I think it's because I've kept this up for the past 5 years. In hindsight, they wonder why they didn't move the horses out of there. Annie and I are still best friends and reminisce from time to time about how we were stalked by a murdering farmer for nearly 3 years. We will never know what that meat was, or if Elliot had anything to do with it, nor will we know why he followed us all those years trying to stop us from riding down our bridle path. I'm not sure I want to know either. If you, or anyone you know, have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.